Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. And hey, thank you for tuning in to the podcast. This is the Grace for This City podcast. And guess what we're doing? We're helping you turn your city upside down. Remember that verse where they said, these were the men, of course, and I'm including the women. These were the people that turned their world upside down. And that's what the podcast is doing. We want to give you biblical strategies and motivation to help you turn your city upside down. Where has God called you? Where has he appointed you? Where are the perimeters of your boundary set by the King of Kings? I'm thinking of that scripture in Titus where Paul said, hey, I left you in Crete to set in order the things that were lacking and to appoint elders. Listen, my friend, God has not forgot about you. You are where you are at on purpose. And God has an assignment for you. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Oh, I love it. It says this, that the apostles gave witness. Of course, we, now that we're in the New Testament, we say it like this, that the believers gave witness to the resurrection power of Jesus. Signs, wonders, miracles, demonstrations, manifestations. And then it closes with this, Acts 4, 33. And great grace was upon them. Grace for Your City podcast. That's what we're doing today. Hey, folks, I am joined in the studio today by my best friend. Hallelujah. My beautiful wife, Miranda. Hey.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on the podcast. And, boy, we've got a great show today. And I've wanted Miranda to be on the podcast. Of course, she'll be back again. But we want to talk today about prayer. And this is, this is going to be a great podcast today. And, of course, my wife does a lot of things. Her and I, we both pastor Grace City Church in Harrison, Arkansas. You can check us out, gracecitychurch.tv, if you're unfamiliar with our ministry. And Marin and I, our time together goes way, way back. We first started in youth ministry.
Well, we first met in fifth grade for me, sixth grade for you.
Oh, that's right. We were in the same school.
Downstairs.
Yeah, in this building. In where this our building. Podcast studio is right now. Many moons ago. Marin and I met in school, private school. There's a private school here. We had a private school for 30 years. We don't have private school anymore, but we run a daycare. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Ministering to the community through child care services. But we met in the private school, and then her family started coming to the church. Mm-hmm. We got on the worship team.
Yep.
We were really involved in youth group, got on the worship team, and Miranda has been leading worship now for, what, 28 years?
Ooh, I guess maybe so. I was 15.
Yeah.
So
do the math, folks.
What is that? Oh, wait, we can't tell them.
Not supposed to say anything.
It's cool.
But so, you know, her and I both have been involved in worship ministry for years. But, you know, the Lord's been doing something in your heart and, and life. And, boy, you've become a mighty prayer warrior.
Wow, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord. In Matthew 21, verse 13. Okay, we're going to just kind of jump right down into the podcast today. We're going to talk about prayer. Marin's going to share a lot of her story, some background, some things the Lord's been doing in her life. But, you know, a general sense about prayer, you know, because a lot of people think prayer, well, you know, that's like a particular ministry and you got to be particularly called to that. And sure, there are those that really go far into prayer and they're, you know, they may be called intercessors or something. But if you are born again, Jesus has called you into prayer because he is forever making intercession. You realize Jesus, the head of the church, the builder of the church, okay, we are members of the body. The body that we're involved in is an intercessor. That's his ministry. And so if you're born again, you are called into prayer with him. Remember, Jesus, he turned to the disciples. He said, can you not stay up with me 1 hour and pray? What was the body doing? Well, the body was wanting to sleep. And Jesus said, no, I want you to join me. Listen to what he said in Matthew 21, verse 13. He said to them, it is written. Now, if you're going to be doers of the word, come on, folks. Here you go, friend. If you don't know what you need to be doing right now, well, you need to be taking your place in prayer. Listen, if there's ever been an hour in which you need to stay up, be woke, my friend, and join Jesus in what he's doing. It's right now. He said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You know, several times that's mentioned. So people tell us all the time, we've experienced this because our church has a priority. Prayer is a priority. It's not just an add-on.
Right, that's good.
In fact, it's the first thing we do when we gather. Our services are on Sunday. Our primary service is on Sunday. It starts at 9:30. And the first thing we do when we gather together is we pray. And, of course, you know, some people choose not to come. Some people are snoozing during that hour, just like the other disciples. We don't talk bad about them, but prayer is a priority. It's not an add-on. It's just not a program. We are a ministry of prayer. Mm. And out from that posture of prayer comes all the other subsequent activities. Mm. And Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And I started to say, you know, people tell us, oh, you know, I'm not really called to prayer. You know, prayer's, you know, that's not really my calling. Are you born again is what I want to say. And I have said this. And we say, are you born again? And I say, oh, yeah. Well, then, so your body has now become a temple. What did Jesus say? My house shall be called a house of prayer.
That's good. That's
it. And so, friend, if you are saved, bought by the blood of Jesus, Christ dwelleth in you. Listen, one of your ministries is prayer. Yeah. And so we want to encourage you today. And Myrna's got a lot on her heart. Boy, she's got just tremendous things. She's been mentored by some of the best. Hallelujah. And our church has really gone places since we really yielded to prayer. Remember, the Lord told us to double down on prayer.
Yeah.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking about that one day, and we said, well, how do we do that? I mean, what does that look like? What does that mean? And, folks, it's an ongoing development of that. But we just had to set in our hearts that we were going to honor the word of the Lord and double down on prayer.
Yep.
So, Miranda, what do you got? Why don't you share with us what the Lord put on your heart today? Again, thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad for the opportunity.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Hallelujah.
Just this last week, I had these stories pop up in my mind. And I thought, how funny that I even thought of that. And then I realized that I think it was for today. But when you were talking about prayer, like, there's, my heart just leaps. I just get excited when you were talking about it. But I remember when it didn't. And there may be some that you hear the word prayer and all of a sudden you just go, ugh, you know, I want to crawl back into bed or go do something else because I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know how to do it. It's just boring, you know. But I remember being in children's church in my little, I'll say, denominational church where I met, you know, first heard about Jesus. So I'm thankful for that church. But there was a really great children's ministry, and this sweet, dear lady taught like a room full of, man, it looked like 30 kids or more. And I remember during prayer, I don't know why we did this, all the kids would put their heads in their lap. It was like, this is our time to snooze. This is when they're praying, so.
It does happen.
Turn it off. And so we put our heads in our lap or act silly, you know, it's just like, oh, this is the prayer, the boring part. And, you know, it was just, since that time, just the drudgery, for some reason, that came with the word pray or prayer, because I didn't really know how it worked or how to even do it. And I remember, I'm just kind of following a chain of events here. You know, people would say, pray, pray, pray. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll just, Lord help them. Don't really know what to say, you know, just in beginning of my Christian life. But I remember being in the Brownsville Revival. Justin and I both got to be a part of the Brownsville Revival.
That was an amazing time.
And I'm so thankful for our pastors and our youth pastors that the Lord brought into our life at that time, because our church was what you would call a word church or word of faith church, but our pastors were still so open to just the move of the Spirit. They didn't shut the door on any denomination or any faith or any stream or camp. And so when they heard about the Brownsville Revival, our youth pastors agreed, you know, they wanted to take the youth group, and the pastors agreed to let us go. And so, but I remember one minister talking and sharing. I don't remember if it was, I want to say it was Richard Crisco or Jeannie Mayo. I'm not sure. You may have heard of those names.
Both were awesome.
Yeah, they were both good. But, and then there was a whole message called Pray the Price. I mean, the whole theme of those times that we were in Brownsville, we got to go for 3 years, but usually the whole theme was bringing a move of God, getting a revival, or receiving an awakening in your city, in your nation. And they talked about praying the price. And I was like, whoa. And I remember it just, in my gut, it just grabbed me like, I have to do this. You know, how in the world do I give myself to this? And, you know, just little 16, 17-year-old kids, we were doing our best to pray, and we didn't know a whole lot about it. We just, you know, get on our knees and cry. I remember one night in my bedroom, I was like, I just want to pray and just worship. So I was in my bedroom, and I got on my knees, and I put my face on my knees, and I fell asleep. And I woke up, and my legs had fallen asleep, and I couldn't, you know how it feels when you get up and try to walk around. I'm like, okay, well, that wasn't such a success. But
true stories, folks.
Yeah, true stories. But then I remember this one story popped up this week, and in the house that I lived in when I was a teenager, we were on a big curve, and trucks and cars would just fly around this curve. And my parents hated that because, you know, we had to pull out on that. And I had to learn, that's where I learned to drive, on that curve. But I was in my bedroom one day, and this was right around the time we were going to the revivals and learning about prayer. And I don't know, doing homework or something. And I heard this huge crash. And I knew automatically somebody had flown around that curve and hit a tree. And I just was quickened. And I remember this because it was one of the first times I was quickened to pray like this. And I just went immediately into the Spirit, began to pray in tongues and just take authority and do whatever I knew to do. And come to find out, I think my dad ended up going and seeing what was going on. And it was, my dad was a high school teacher and a football coach. And he knew it was one of his students, and he knew him, and he was okay. But the car was totaled. And so he came out. I don't even think, I mean, maybe bruises and scratches, if that, but he was fine. And I was so thankful. And, you know, I didn't really know. I thought, did God use my prayer, or was it just coincidence? But, you know, looking back now, why else would he have prompted me to pray if he wasn't going to work through that, a miracle, you know? And I don't remember all the details of that story, but I remember that young man saying something about he recognized that God was involved in him being okay.
That's really good, because we have to realize that God is not just arbitrarily working, you know. I don't want to get off track here, but this connects, because we face a lot of you know, people who think, well, God is just so sovereign, he's doing whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. But the reality is he's working through his body in the earth. And so when the Lord prompted Miranda to pray, you got to understand that he wasn't working independently of Miranda. The head is working through the body in the earth. Listen, folks, this is why it's very important that you get a biblical paradigmatic view, okay? You have a paradigm of your purpose in the earth is directly connected to your place in the body of Jesus Christ, of which he's the head of. His body is not working independently of you, because you are a member of that body. And so he's just not doing things. The head is not doing stuff independently or distinct from the body's involvement. And so whatever is going on, somebody's praying somewhere. If we could get this, right?
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere is praying. That's how you survived that accident. That's how you got healed.
Yeah.
That's how you got saved. I mean, that's how God opened up that door, or that's how you were protected from that situation. I mean, whatever, you know, these memorable moments in your life, these testimony points where you say, God did. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, he did, because the head is in the position and perspective of seeing things, but yet he worked through his body. So while all the glory goes to Jesus, at some point, now I believe this, I don't necessarily have scripture to back this up, but I believe that some of these like events in our life that were monumental, I think we'll get to meet the person that prayed us through. Cool,
for sure.
and they may not even know you.
Yeah.
You didn't know that.
No.
You weren't best friends with the kid that flew off the road. Mm-hmm. But see, that didn't matter. God prompted you. You're a member of his body. His house is a house of prayer. When he began to move in intercession, he awoke you to the knowledge of the situation, mm-hmm. prompted you to begin to pray and intercede. And whether it's in the natural or in tongues, it provided legal access for the heavenly realm with the angels to begin to move into a situation and bring God's will about in the earth. Mm-hmm. Oh, friend, if you could get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, John Wesley, it seems as if God can do nothing in the earth except a man prays.
I love that quote. Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Well, you know, who was it sharing? Oh, it was Miss Sharon Buss from Global Outpouring. She was sharing at our church on Sunday about Moses when he interceded for the Israelites.
Yeah.
That, you know, he came down the mountain and saw that they were in idolatry. And basically, it was almost like adultery.
That was the golden calf moment there, right?
And I like the way she said it. She said it was grounds for divorce. And God said, move out of the way, Moses. I'm going to destroy them.
Wow.
But he said, no. He said he stood in the gap for them. He interceded for them. What a picture of what we can do for people. And I think the revelation in your spirit, when you catch, because I think it's more caught than taught in some instances, mm-hmm. when you catch that I can actually affect a situation, a person, you know, obviously staying true to the word, not just manipulating your own plans and wills, but I can impact help change a person's life through prayer. And with the short amount of time that we have, you know, there's leaders in the body of Christ that are saying, I mean, it sounds short. I've heard 7 years, 10 years. I've heard months. People saying that we have months. I'm like, what? But whatever it is.
That's short.
I mean, and you want to stand before the Lord with, you know, him just taking an evaluation of your works that were done on the earth. I mean, it's like, wow. Prayer would be the quickest thing to do right now.
Yeah.
to get some fruit.
I want to go back and just reiterate this. And then here's a revelation that you need. You are uniquely one with Christ. You are a member of his body. Mm-hmm. Listen, Jesus, the head of this body, is forever making intercession.
Oh, that's good.
And the body, let me say it like this, you pray because he prays.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost is administrating to you the knowledge, or I love what 1 John chapter 2, this verse says, unction from the Holy One. So you have unction. Okay, you have a prompting. You have a sudden, some people use the word burden. Okay, something comes on you, not necessarily on you as much as up from within you, out of your spirit. And that's because Jesus is making intercession, but he's not working. He cannot. Let me say it emphatically like that. He cannot work independent of his body.
Yeah.
And so, friend, listen, if you'll wake up to the reality that prayer is not that old lady's job, okay? Prayer is not just, you know, the one famous guy, you know, that you read about, okay? Prayer is your ministry. Prayer is the ministry.
Yeah. Right here.
Yeah, you're going to get into this.
No, it's good.
Now, Marin and I pastor, okay? And, dude, the struggle is real, okay? The struggle is real to come out of just activity.
Yeah, that's true.
And program and repeat and get to the heart of what the ministry is. And we're not perfect at it, but the Lord said the double down on prayer. And what is happening as a result of that is our activity. Okay, prayer is producing the knowledge of what we're to be doing. Prayer is revealing to us what God is desiring of us to do. Do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. Be here, be there. Say this, say that. The first posture we have, and again, it goes back to, because you are, it would be a Bible mystery. Ephesians calls it a mystery. It's no longer a mystery now, because Bible mysteries are things hidden, but they're not hidden from you. They're hidden for you.
Yeah.
And so the mystery is that you are one with Christ. And because the head is an intercessor, the body becomes part and parcel with that intercessor's ministry. And out of that posture of prayer comes the work, comes the mandate, the assignment, the activities. And so, like I said, Marin and I pastored, the struggle's real. You know, you got this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't even have to pray, and you could still have church. Like, there's church in a box, right? There's church in a book. Just buy a book, just do whatever they tell you to do, and have a good photographer to take the right angle pictures, and you'll be awesome. I mean, you'll look amazing on social media. But that doesn't mean that you actually are doing and or knowing the heart of God. Prayer is sacrificial in one sense, because prayer forces you to get out of yourself and connect with the head, Jesus Christ, and say, what is on your heart and mind? And so that's I'm probably gonna be on repeat. I'm gonna bring that up more times.
Yeah,
because it, you know, part of the ministry of prayer for many folks. Okay, you say, well, I'm not a prayer warrior. Well, once again, are you born again? You need to rethink this, friend. And I'm not saying you got to go, you know, spend 8 hours in prayer. Now, we've got some friends that that's what they do. Mm-hmm. They pray all day. In fact, I've got a really good friend here in town. They're building a 24/7 house of prayer. That's their mandate. That's their call. Phenomenal. I mean, absolutely phenomenal ministry. Not everybody's going to be called in that particular assignment. But listen, friend, everybody who's a member of the body of Jesus Christ has a prayer mandate on them. Jesus can't do what he wants to do unless the body joins with him. Myrna, what's that verse? It's in Romans where it talks about the Holy Spirit. Remember this? He says, for you don't know how to pray as you ought. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's not that, it's not that you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to pray as you ought. Mm-hmm. And see, the Holy Ghost is helping us take what's in the mind, the heart, the will of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's administrating that into the body. And then the Holy Ghost helps us, takes hold with us together with the head as we begin to pray concerning his will in that particular area. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm getting excited. All right. I'm going to turn it back over to you, though, because you're the special guest.
I was just thinking about when you said that Reese Howes and Bend Hitler. That's so good.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we in our flesh, we think we got to have, you know, sometimes we think we got to have this beautiful organized prayer, and those are powerful too. The Lord moves through those, but the word of the Lord came during World War II to Reese Howells, and it was Bend Hitler. That was the prayer. I mean, sure, there was a lot of other prayer that went with that, but specifically that was the prayer, one of the prayers the Lord gave him during that time. And I mean, when you get it in the spirit, there's power released. The fervent effectual prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous dunamis power available.
I love that.
Yeah, I know. Just power goes out into the situation. Hallelujah.
In fact, Real quick, and then I want you to go into that.
That's
We have prayer. We actually have a prayer. Excuse me. We have prayer going throughout the entirety of our services. We've started this on Wednesdays. We've started this on Sundays. We've been doing this, but during the service, we have intercessors in the prayer room praying. And the Lord showed me the connection to that on that verse that you just quoted right there. That's James chapter 5. That the fervent, I think one of the translations says the fervent continual prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available and dynamic in its working.
Yeah.
And I remember when the Lord began to minister that to me and said, have prayer going. When the prayers are praying, power is being made available. Listen, it's not just, you know, I like what Reinhard Bonnke said.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Man of God, evangelist, touched the globe. Of course, he's gone on to be with the Lord now. But the Lord told him something similar. They had designed in their crusade stages what they called the prayer furnace, and they would have hundreds of intercessors praying while the gospel, just the simple gospel, was being ministered to crowds of millions. But they had the prayer. What was the prayer doing? Well, the prayer was making the power available for those people that said, I want Jesus. Power was available. And then amazing healings, deliverance, people being delivered of demons, arms and legs growing out, eyes being healed, crippled, maimed people walking. I mean, tremendous miracles. Why, though? Why? Because the power was made available. Mm-hmm. Because they made a decision to connect, the intercessory ministry of Jesus with the proclaimed word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. And so we've recently started this on our Wednesday. We have prayer. And, of course, Marina was leading it this Wednesday, and they gave me an update. It was just powerful prayer.
It was fun, too. We were dancing, shouting.
Hallelujah. All right, you were going to jump in. I just wanted to share that on
James. That's good. I was just going to track along here a little bit more of the testimony. And I think it was, you know, we did youth ministry for a while. And it's hard to do youth ministry and not come under the cool demon.
Huh.
I don't mean the cool as a demon, but, you know, just play on words here. The cool pressure, you know, everything's got to be cool.
Cool. Wow, y'all are so cool.
Cool hair, cool clothes, cool music, you know. Anyway, so I think we came under that a lot, just trying to make everything cool. Got to make it fun, got to make it cool, you know. And, I mean, when you get in the Holy Ghost, you don't really have to even try to make it fun. It just gets fun.
He's the author of fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. But anyway, we went through that, and kind of didn't know what was going on while it was going on. You know how that is. But I do remember that in 2008, I would watch, y'all know Sister Billy Brim, Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. I would watch her broadcast occasionally, and I remember her sharing, the first time I heard it, that one thing will save a nation.
Yeah.
And the Lord had spoken that to her in 2008 during time of prayer out at Prayer Mountain. And if you can look up and hear her say it. It's much more powerful than me sharing it. But one thing will save a nation, and it is not
the election,
but it is an awakening to God. And I had awakenings in my heart from high school. Thank God for that Christian school we were talking about at the beginning. Just they taught us about the awakenings at our school. We learned about the awakenings. We had a history teacher. He would read stuff that wasn't even in our textbook, just tell us all these stories about Jonathan Edwards and the people hanging onto the seats, just shaking under the power. And he was just reading his sermon off the page. It's amazing. And so I had that sown in my heart, just that hunger and thirst. And then we got into Brownsville, and that just stirred up the flame even brighter and hotter. And we had a youth pastor that was reading us books about awakening and revivals. And so we were just on that trail hard. And then, you know, some things happened, and just kind of got away from that. And more interested in being cool. Because, you know, you can, when you, it's, never mind, I won't go down that trail again. But
right.
We got more interested in being cool. But when she said that about one thing will save a nation, an awakening, boy, that stirred up some flames that had been kind of just embers in my spirit. And so I thought, well, they pray at on Wednesdays at noon, so I'll just pray with them. And I prayed a few times back from 2008. I prayed with the online, and then I just kind of prayed on my own. But I go to our little youth building and pray. And I remember one time I was just praying in the spirit. You know, you start off praying in tongues, praying in the flesh, so, you know, just kind of just a little bit sleepy. And then I got to this place. I was by myself. I got to this place where I was like, I don't know what's happening, but this is not my voice. But you know, I'm yielding. I'm not just overtaken, you know, not out of control, so to speak. But I'm just yielding, and this voice is—it's my voice, but it's a strong voice. And suddenly, I don't even feel like I'm. I feel like Jesus is praying through me. He's standing, Hallelujah. And I was standing in front of the seats in the youth building, and I was praying over the seats, and it was like Jesus was prophesying to these students, and like I've never been in this place of prayer before. But so I kind of would just yield to that. We do that. I do that every Wednesday. Just go into that place and allow him to flow through me like that. Didn't really know what was happening, and you know, didn't know that it was how important it was or what the Lord was doing with it at the time. But then in 2013, this was it wasn't 2013. I may go back to that, but this was probably 2000. I don't know when it was, but I think we'd already had our first son. And up until that point, Justin and I had been working together up at our youth building every day. Like we were just there every day, you know, just doing whatever the Lord needed us to do for the youth ministry, for pastor. And I just loved being able to work with my husband and being in ministry. But then when our first child came, it was like, I'm stuck at the house, you know? Huh. And I tried going in with him, and it's like, this is not a fit. This isn't really working. And so I kind of went through this time of just feeling like, what am I doing? Is that our time?
That's total time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, wow.
No, we're good on time.
Okay. So I went through this time being like, what am I doing? I don't feel like I'm doing anything for God. You know, I mean, just sitting here at the house changing diapers. What is this? I mean, I wasn't putting any pieces together at all at that time. And so that was a little bit of a struggle. And I think it took maybe two or three babies later when the revelation began to hit a little bit heavy. And I'll just share a dream that I had, a couple dreams. And it was that, I'm trying to figure out which one I should share first. It was, I had a dream about some criminal activities going on in our city. And I woke up just on full alarm because the end of the dream was a voice coming through an intercom saying, put out an APB, put out an APB. I didn't know what an APB was.
That's good.
And I looked it up. I'm like, oh my goodness. Am I supposed to call the police and tell them what I just dreamed about? Criminal activities?
An APB is an all points bulletin.
Yeah.
So get it out on every possible way.
Right. And so I had no idea. I thought, okay, I'm just going to pray. Maybe I should take these criminal things that I've seen in my dream to the police. But fast forward a couple years, and the word of the Lord came to Justin when this dream was forgotten, came to Justin, which was put out an APB to the intercessors. Hello, the intercessors. And so the Lord was just piecing some things together, just personally for me, whereas, you know, I was feeling like, man, I'm stuck at home. I can't do nothing. You know, I'm not helping anybody. And I went to a marriage meeting, and the lady that was ministering showed a video of a bridge that was just like, you see in the video, the supports just blow up and the bridge crumbles. And she was saying how that represented prayer. You don't really see it. You don't really notice it. But boy, when you don't have it, you lose everything. Mm. And the prayer was the support of that bridge in her analogy. And boy, the Lord, I mean, it was just like I was quickened. You don't have to be up in the office behind the computer. You don't have to be on the stage. Duh. You know, I mean, in the natural, I knew that. But in the spirit, I hadn't caught that. And I caught that, you know, through the different dreams the Lord gave me, through that word. that word she had about the prayer is the support, and how it's like a body part you don't see, like your pancreas or your heart. You don't even know. Right. In fact, you hear about what's a pancreas. A lot of people don't even know what that is.
I have one of those.
Yeah, or a gallbladder. But boy, when you don't have it or it stops working right, you realize, ooh, we need that. We need that in our ministry. We need that in our family. And we've got to get that. We've got to get that going again. And another dream that had come to me, I think it was 2013, and I won't go through the whole dream because it's long. But we were doing the cool thing at the beginning of the dream, and we were actually in somebody else's house looking at all their cool gadgets, their computer, their keyboard. Is it the lights were out? But then all of a sudden the phone rang, and the phone was the call to stop trying to be cool and get back on the old path. Jeremiah, what is that?
Jeremiah 6:16,
is that it?
I think so. Yeah.
Follow the ancient path, get on the old path, which is just prayer. Get back into the ministry of prayer. And at the end of the dream, we were in this, we opened this door, and we go into this room, and it was kind of creepy because there was this furniture turned over and wallpaper was coming off the walls, and there was incense burning and a record playing old music. And I recognized in that room that the incense represented prayer and the music represented the praise, and that something had died in that room. It was like a move had died.
Yeah.
And then there was no way out of that room. It was like the Lord saying, you're not going anywhere. Anywhere. You think you want to go here. You think you want to be like that church. You think you want to be like that church. But you got a concrete wall as the exit to this, unless you get this room going again and you get the prayer up. You flip these chairs up, get the walls back to what they should be, and get the prayer ministry going again.
Wow. Let me read that verse that referenced in Jeremiah.
Yeah, the old path.
The old path. Jeremiah 6:16. Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But listen, there's a whole generation of people who said this, but we will not walk in it. Now, you know, the implications of what the old way is, you know, it could be a lot of different things. And we've ministered from this verse as the Lord has showed it to us from a lot of different angles. But we're talking about how the Lord began to show us the difference of coming out of the church's industry.
Yeah.
Okay, churchianity. Yeah. And when Miranda says cool church, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the church that has been designed to entertain. So it's just like, it's whatever the people want. But the difference is when you is getting a paradigm about ministering to the Lord, and out of that primary ministry, the body serving the head, out of that comes the instructions then for what needs to be done, rather than just doing things that attract people, mm-hmm. entertain people, yeah. make people feel good that you had a good service. But it better not be over 25 minutes long, because they get ravenously angry.
Hangry.
They get hangry. So what we're talking about is the transition from being a church that just catered to the desires of the flesh to a church that really ministered to the Spirit of the Lord. You know, and Jesus said this, or the scripture said this, unless the Lord builds the house.
Yeah.
He that labors in vain. You know, and, you know, part of me is embarrassed. You know, I wish I had a different testimony, right?
embarrassed that you tried to be cool.
Well, you know, that you know, we got wrapped up for a time.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't think, you know, necessarily our hearts and our motive was wrong, but you know, there was a lot of things being thrown at us, like, hey, this is how you're supposed to do church. And so this is probably another podcast, but in the whole churchianity, here's how this really is applicable to what we're talking about, is within churchianity, okay, which is church as industry, okay, within that, there is very little room for prayer, if any at all. Okay, prayer is not even a consideration.
Yeah.
Okay. And the churchianity movement, the church's industry movement, is all about trend, modern. You know, the spirit of modernism is a dangerous thing. You need to look it up. The spirit of modernism is the decision to disconnect with anything from the past. Now, listen, this is why Jeremiah 6 comes in really strong here, is because the Lord spoke to us. He said, I want my church back. Okay, he spoke to that. He spoke that to us in March of 2017. And then in the fall of that year, like around September, the Lord spoke to my heart. It wasn't audibly, but the Lord impressed on my heart. He said, I want my body back. I want my body back. Mm-hmm. And he began to minister to us on a lot of things. Now, we're just talking about one element, and one of those elements was prayer. But that was one of the things the Lord said that he wanted back. Mm-hmm. And he took us to Acts chapter 2. In fact, if you're listening right now, grab your Bible if you're able. And in Acts chapter 2, let me turn there. Acts 2, I want to share this. And this is why this prayer is very important. We're going back to the old way. Listen, the old way works, folks.
Yeah.
The old way works.
We're not talking about old legalism.
Yeah,
bondage.
No, we're not talking about that. we're not talking about being, you know, fuddy-duddies. We're not talking about, you know, I think you understand.
Yeah.
But in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they continued. Now, listen. These are the four fundamentals. This is the thing that he said that he wanted restored. This is the old way. This is the old path. In fact, one translation says the ancient path.
Yeah, it's good.
Another translation says the eternal path. Listen, God wants you back on his trajectory, okay? Yeah. The thing that he started a long time ago, he's looking to finish in you. But you got to connect with what he's been doing, not just give him your list of things that you want him to do. That's churchianity right there. We want this, so we're going to make this happen. We don't want to do that, so we're not going to do that anymore. No, we do what the head says do. We are a body. Again, uniquely one with the head, Jesus. He's not working independently of the body. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. Listen, here's the four fundamentals. The apostles' doctrine, or we could say it like this, the ministry of the word. Listen, it's got to be a fundamental. It's got to be a priority. We're not talking about just tossing little, you know, stale, GMO'd filler fluff at people. We're talking about the ministry of the word. Now, that doesn't mean that you got to go, you know, I mean, I don't want to put like, you know, I don't want to give my opinion on like, you know, what that should look like. But I'm saying that you should desire, you should hunger and thirst after the word of the Lord. And if your church or your people don't hunger and thirst after the word, there's a problem. Okay? If all they can stomach is some sort of modified GMO sugar fluff, you know, and they can't handle the meat of the word. Folks, the Bible says they will not grow. Now, there are people out here that, and, you know, I'm connecting some natural things with spiritual things here, but there are people out here that are absolutely eating garbage food. And on the outside right now, they look healthy. They look okay. But if they stay on that diet for long, internally, there's going to be problems. They're eroding away at the bone marrow level, at the blood cell level. Their organs will eventually shut down because there is no real food sustaining them. So this is part of the old way, folks. This is part of the old path. This is part about getting on what he started so he can finish it. Listen, he's building the church.
Yeah, he is.
Man, as pastors, let me tell you right now, stop building your own ministry, friend. And you're going to look like a fool for a while. You're going to suffer the loss of social esteem from ignorant people for a while when you make the decision to start doing church his way and not the trend way. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't incorporate trends. I mean, look at us. Look at that. I'm wearing a hat today. I got this trendy hat. So I bought trendy. This hat. I bought this hat at H&M, for goodness sake. I am trendy.
H&M.
I am trending today. Okay. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? What I'm saying is if all you do is go the way of trends, you're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind or trend of doctrine, and your people are going to be without substantial, foundational, deeply rooted commitment to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. All right, yeah. So you said they continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine or the ministry of the word and fellowship, that's koinonia. Now, we're not just talking about potlucks, okay? There are churches, okay? I'm not going to name names, okay? I don't know of any names. But there are churches that think they are connected in one because they do some sort of potlucky something or other every now and then, and there is so much strife and division in their group. Listen, koinonia goes beyond just eating together, putting on a little, you know, a little potluck face, smiling at everybody, but yet secretly you're in such competition over who made the best pie. Come on. Listen, koinonia goes beyond potluck, folks. Koinonia was covenant relationship inspired by and fueled by the Holy Ghost, where these people considered one another. Mm-hmm. Jesus, help us. All right, and then number three, the breaking of bread or communion. Listen, the modern church has done away with communion, or it's done in the corner or something. Hallelujah. Yeah. And then lastly, now it's not last, okay? I'm not saying that this is the order. This is just the way they were written. But you got to understand, these are the four fundamental pillars of a church that has given itself back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the last thing listed here is what?
Prayer.
It's prayer.
Well, we were talking about cool church, and when we first took the position of pastor, I remember I was walking out of the nursery downstairs one day, and the Lord just kind of spoke to me in coming and going, and just said, "Well," he said, "What do you want? What do you want in this ministry?" And, you know, obviously I want whatever he wants. So I know what he was saying. But the first thing that popped into my mind was this stage and all these lights and all of the, you know, the dramatics and whatever you say. And then this wonderful musicians and choir. It was perfect. It was manicured. It was polished. It was airbrushed, you know? And, I felt like the Lord said, "Is that what you want?" And I didn't have really an answer. It was kind of like, "Well, it looks good, you know."
Looks good on Instagram.
I mean, and nothing. We're not saying there's anything wrong with that. I mean,
yeah, we're being a little facetious.
Excellent. I mean, we're not talking about excellence, you know, obviously at all. But I didn't really have an answer. And then, you know, when things started rolling in this direction, then the Lord gave me, I was like, "Well, what's my other option here?" And it was like this other picture popped up into my spirit, and it was everybody on their face.
Hallelujah.
On the floor.
Yes.
I mean, you know, there's going to be both. There's going to be that anointed worship team and that stage where people are up there leading and ministering, and there's going to be people on their face, you know. But I was just thankful that he gave me, I just didn't feel right about that first picture because that was the man-made, you know, drummed up flesh idea. But you were talking about leaving it to the old lady. I thought that was funny. Brother Hagin, this book, can you see that? Art of Intercession.
Make sure you look for the Art of Intercession. They've changed the name of this book. If you were to go on, I think it's rhema.org, Kenneth Hagin's ministry's website, you can't get this book from there. It's called The Art of Prayer now, but you need to actually go and look for the original, The Art of Intercession.
This is the second printing, 1981. And page 56 says, Brother Hagin's talking here. He says, "Years ago, I ministered in a full gospel church that was running several hundreds in the Sunday morning services. On Sunday night, the building was almost full. They had a dear old lady, Grandma Greer, who was at that time 80-some-odd years of age. She'd been in Pentecost since the turn of the century. Away back around 1906, she'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. She knew something about travailing and waiting on God. The old timers did. She would pray at the altar, groaning and praying in other tongues in the spirit of travail, carrying the entire thing probably on her own back. 3 years later, I came back.
Wait, sorry. So it wasn't the awesome worship team. Do you need awesome worship?
Yes. Sure. Yes.
But so many people have put all their eggs in the basket of amazing worship, amazing children's ministry. Listen, folks, that's straight out of the church growth book. That is church as industry script. Do you need children's ministry? Sure, if the Lord tells you to. Do you need worship? Yes. The Lord told us to put some emphasis on praise and worship. That's another podcast. But what I'm saying is, listen. What was carrying?
Yeah.
See, you think your pastor's awesome? You think he had a great word? You think your team's anointed? You think your ushers are awesome? You think your children's minister's doing a fine job? It's only because prayer has prayed through, so to speak. It has made power available. The Bible doesn't say that worship makes power available. Don't misunderstand me. But in James, it says that the fervent prayers is what makes power available. So listen, folks, we just need to get back to the foundation.
Yeah.
Make sure your foundation is strong. According to the Bible, you can have an amazing ministry with just the four fundamentals. Listen, don't buy into the lie. Mm-hmm. I need to do a podcast, apparently, on church's industry. But listen, I was a student of that. I had all the books. We went to the seminars. Listen, there's no prayer. There's no room for prayer. You're too busy taking pictures and posting them on Instagram to be praying. You're too busy marketing what you're doing to be trusting in the Holy Ghost and in the place of posture of prayer. And if you might have a little prayer thing, it's in the back somewhere where no one even knows about it. No one can see it. And you just leave an old lady to it. Now,
the wallpaper's falling off.
The wallpaper.
Chairs are turned over.
It's in the dungeon. Okay. Now, I want you to get back to that story because there's something really significant about this story.
Yeah. She would pray at the altar, groaning and praying in other tongues in the spirit of travail. 3 years later, I came back to the same church. Instead of having the building full for Sunday morning services, they had about 80 or 90 people. On Sunday night, they had 35 to 50. What happened? I asked someone. One of the members said, "Do you remember old Grandma Greer?" Yes. Well, she was in the altar praying like she always did, and the new pastor got up and said,
"The new pastor, Pastor Trendy."
He said, "We're not going to have any of that around here." He put a stop to it.
"We will not walk in those old ways."
And they had no more babies being born because there was no travailing. And he shares a scripture, "When Zion travails, she brings forth her children." Yep.
Now listen, I'm being a little snarky, okay? But you want to have a dynamic outreach ministry? Listen, I'm probably ticking a ton of folks off. But look, you understand what I'm saying here. You want to touch your community for Jesus? We want to stand out here on the corner and give free water away? Listen, if you ain't got somebodies, and not just the old folk, if you're not raising up the next gen in prayer,
that's good.
All you're going to be able to do is chill them water bottles and just hand them to them. And they're going to just walk by and say, "Oh, hey, thanks, free water." There'll be no power available. Hallelujah. And what's this thing about? Come on, Zion.
Travails. Yeah, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So I was going to go back to the testimony shortly after that dream that we had with the... Oh, it's cool.
This has been a fun podcast today.
We like making fun of ourselves.
Well, listen, we're helping you turn your city upside down. Yeah. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that unless the Spirit empowers you to do that, folks? Listen, I'm going to go back. I'm going to say this one more time. I'm going to give right back to you. I'm going to look at the camera. If you're listening to the audio podcast, you're missing out. You can see me right now. You can see me and Miranda right now on Facebook and YouTube. But listen, If there's no power, there's no prayer, there's no power. You got to understand, Jesus said, stay up with me. Okay, turn it back to you.
So we were talking about how I went through that funny time where I just didn't feel like I was doing anything. And then, you know, that minister at the marriage meeting was talking about prayer being the support. And so right around that time, this opportunity came to start a business. And I found out I could start it from home. And I was like, you know, should I do this? I found out there were coaches. They would coach you how to do your business from home. And you could make tons of money doing this business from home. And so I was like, let's do it, you know. And it was so fun. We made some really great friends, really great people, and had so much fun learning. And we really liked the products. It was really fun. But I got into it, and I mean, I was like wearing wet socks the whole time. It's like something is not fitting me, and I don't know why, because I was really trying to make it work.
Yeah.
And it was right around that time that I think it was May or something, 2017, and I was seeking the Lord one morning in prayer, praying in the Spirit. And I was like, God, I need some answers. I just, you know, I feel like I'm not doing anything. You know, I got this business. It's not, I just had another baby. It's not going anywhere. And the Lord just bubbled up in my spirit. You've been following your head and not your heart. I was like, okay, whoa, that's kind of a huge download. I've been following my head and not my heart, you know? And so that was the first thing that was kind of leading me out of this place of feeling insignificant for the Lord. And the next thing I heard was I had been watching Sister Billy Brim and, you know, just getting fed as much as I could at home. We had three kids at the time, brand new baby. And I was just like really, really receiving from her ministry more and more because she was a mom, you know. It was just easy to follow, and just frequently she'll have her daughters on there and they'll talk about, you know, just basic things, but prayer and the ministry and whatnot. And this idea just floated up from my heart. Go to Prayer Mountain. I'm like, go to Prayer Mountain? Well, I had wanted to go to Prayer Mountain like years ago when they'd first moved in. And I think we had friends that were helping build some of the cabins and stuff. And I just kind of, you know, lost that notion. Well, I GPS'd, you know, how far is Prayer Mountain? 11 minutes from my house was Prayer Mountain. And so I'm like, oh man, I'm going. I got like a 2 month old. And so I'm like, I'm going to go. And so I strap on 2 year old. I mean, not in the car, you know, I strap him on once I get there at Prayer Mountain. Not 2 year old. Did I say 2 year old? 2 month old.
2 month old.
You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, and walk into Prayer Mountain, and just like instantly I walk in and it was like, oh, I'm home. It was just like this, this knowing, like, where has this place been? It was more like, where have I been? You know, walk in, and it's just, you know, the atmosphere. It was like the atmosphere when you walk into Revival or a Rodney Howard Brown meeting or Rhema Bible Church meeting. You know, you walk into that atmosphere, it's like, woo, somebody been praying up in here. And so I walked in and just went and sat down, and Miss Billy wasn't there that day. So I was kind of like, oh, it's kind of disappointing, you know, hoping to hear Sister Billy. But her daughter, which was Miss Brenda Kruko, was leading the prayer. And you know, nothing fancy, just Miss Brenda gets up and she's just kind of talking, just sharing from her heart. And I wasn't really able to follow her that well, like with my head, but my heart was locked in. I really wasn't sure where she was going. My mind was kind of on the baby, you know, you're not getting much sleep, and is the baby gonna cry? Do I need to change its diaper? You know, do I need to go feed it? All that stuff. I'm giving you all some really good details. But I'm sitting there and she passes out this timeline, and it's like got a few things on it that look interesting. And I see that at the end of the timeline, it says Brownsville. I was like, well, I haven't heard anybody in this camp talk about Brownsville. I want to hear what she has to say. And then I saw another piece of the timeline that said 1982, which is the year I was, oh, now I'm told them how old I am, year I was born. We don't care. Anyway, and then I saw Jeannie Wilkerson in 1982. I was like, well, Jeannie Wilkerson, 1982, that was the year I was born, but I'm pretty sure Jeannie Wilkerson came to our church. It was Grace Christian Center at the time. because I heard people talk about it. They would mention this time when Jeannie Wilkerson came to our church. So I was like, man, I really want to hear this. And so she starts ministering, and she's talking about this thing that I'd never heard of called synergy, synergy of the ages, and getting the old words and prayers and keeping them before you and waging a good warfare, like it talks about in Timothy. I don't know where that passage is exactly, but waging a good warfare with the prophecies and prayers, and agreeing with the prayers that have gone before. And so I thought, whoa, I thought this is funny. My husband would really like this. That's what I thought. Because he, Justin, had been so good about keeping the prophecies and typing them up and putting them out. He's like, remember the Lord said that? Remember the Lord said that? And I was like, well, I just, you know, I wasn't putting much stock in anything like I should have been. You know, I wasn't doing what Paul said to Timothy about waging a good warfare. So anyway, I'm sitting in the meeting, and I had to get up and go take care of the baby. And so I go into the bathroom, and I'm like so disappointed. I'm like, man, came all this way. I really wanted to hear what she had to say about that part of the timeline. And I go to the restroom, ladies' restroom, and I'm like, I can't hear her anymore. I'm like, she was almost to that point, and I really did not want to miss that. So I'm like, it's really loud in the bathroom, and there's a speaker, but it's kind of cutting in and out. So I'm like, well, how can I hear her more? So I go, and I'm like, there's a fan switch. Turn off the fan switch. And then I can hear her a whole lot better, but she's still cutting in and out. And so I'm like, Lord, you know, I know you'll just help me get what I need to get. And so I take the baby and I lay him on this little counter area of the bathroom to change his diaper. And all of a sudden, through that speaker, so loud and so clear, it was like the Lord was going to make sure that speaker worked for that. She goes, 1982, Jeannie Wilkerson. And my ears just perked up. But I didn't even know what else she said after that, because in my spirit, the Holy Ghost said, Prayer Mountain is your derrick. He used this Hebrew word that I just recently learned. It means your path, your old path. Prayer Mountain is your derrick to the awakening. And so, I mean, you know how when God can say one thing and it's just like, boom, the whole thing just pops open, you know, it's just all unpacked right in front of you. This event, you know, somebody said God dots, all these things just connect. It was like everything just connect. Hello. The awakening, your call to the awakening, your call to pray. It wasn't just Prayer Mountain, but it was prayer. Hello, prayer. I've been trying to tell you this for like 30 years. Prayer is your path to the awakening. You're called to a move. You're called to an awakening. Pray. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Am I yelling in the mic?
No, that's good.
Anyway, so that kind of launched both of us into the prayer, the mandate of prayer. And I want to go back to that business that I had started. And then I want to read this to you, that you'll like this. And, you know, that business just didn't really, it wasn't my fit. But I needed something I could do from home. You know, now we have 4 kids, and I really needed something I can do from home. So check this out right here. Let's see. This is Brother Hagin's book again, The Art of Intercession.
You need to get that book.
Page 141. This is kind of a long story, so I'm trying to find where to start here. When I first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and came over among Pentecostal people, I accepted the pastorate of a small full gospel church in North Central Texas. Most of the congregation were farmers. In the fall of the year, when they harvested cotton, we dismissed all services except for Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. On Sunday afternoons, we'd bring something to eat and gather at someone's house to eat together. This particular Sunday, we met at my future wife's house. A dear little lady was there. I had heard of her, but had never met her. Everyone called her Mother Howard. They referred to her as a mother in Israel. She ate, but as soon as we finished eating and were visiting, she asked for a room where she could get off by herself. She knelt on the bare floor. I learned that sometimes she would put a newspaper on the floor and lay her forehead on it as she prayed all Sunday afternoon without moving. She was a widow. She owned her own home in a neighboring community. A pastor I knew lived in one side of her home with his wife and child. And catch this. He said to me, she makes a business of prayer. Boom, there it is. There's my business, my business from home. She arises at 4 in the morning. She prays from 4 to 8 every morning. Then she cooks her a little bite to eat. After that, she puts in another 2 hours praying. She eats a light lunch. Then she usually comes over to our side of the house and visits with us for a while. By 2 or 3 in the afternoon, she goes back to prayer. Sometimes she prays until midnight. If the burden is there, she prays all night. Hers was a ministry of intercession. She was born again many years ago in Dallas. Then they had moved to a town where there was no full gospel church. In fact, there was no full gospel church in any city or town to round about. One by one, town by town, city by city, she took them and interceded until a church was built there. Then she took the next town and prayed until a church was built there. Mother Howard, that little old woman, that beautiful saint of God, prayed a church into every town, every village, and every nook of North Texas. I've thought about how it might be when we all get to heaven and the rewards are passed out. The pastors who built the churches will be ready to step up and get their reward. But Jesus is going to call Mother Howard up there. Hers was the ministry that got the job done. No one saw her. They hardly knew she existed. She didn't while her time visiting and talking on Sunday afternoons. She was on the job. She literally gave her life for others. That's what Jesus did and his calling, and he is calling for intercessors today. Here is a ministry, the greatest ministry of all, the ministry of intercession. And he says, do you want to enter the ministry? You don't have to have a calling. All you have to do is be a volunteer. Is volunteer. He is calling for volunteers.
Well, there's your calling.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
He's called you to pray.
Calling for volunteers.
Hey, in the last few moments of the podcast, I want to read some quotes as we'll close here. Rhonda, would love to have you on the podcast again.
Yeah. We'd love to come back.
Yeah. I don't think we finished. There's a lot
here.
No,
we can
great
do
stuff. But recently the Lord spoke to Dutch Sheets, and of course he wrote a book called Intercession, and many have called him the father of modern intercession. Great man of God. We've had him minister for us a couple times, and just looking to the future to see what the Lord does, relationship with Dutch Sheets. Praise the Lord. But the Lord spoke to him recently and said this: it's time for you to get back to building the ministry from prayer. It's time to get back to building from prayer. Folks, listen, that's not just a word for Dutch Sheets. What the Lord spoke to us is not just a word for Justin and Miranda. This is not just a word for Grace City Church. Folks, I want you to hear what the Holy Ghost is telling you today. It's time to choose the old way again. It's time now to put aside your resistance to going the way he wants you to go. And I'm telling you, he's going the way of prayer. Listen, Francis Chan said this: if prayer isn't vital for your church isn't vital. Mic drop. Hallelujah. That's a powerful statement right there. And of course, Kenneth Hagin, in his book, The Art of Intercession, he talks about that this is the ministry. But listen to this. We don't pray for the ministry. Ministry is prayer.
What I love about it is it makes it so easy. Little old grandma can do it.
Little old grandma.
Little child can do it.
But listen, Miranda, while that's amazing, we have to inspire the next gen to take their place. Mm-hmm. Just like you've done and others. Mm-hmm. This isn't just about the old. It's not the old person's ministry.
Right. That's good.
It's the ministry for the body.
Yeah. It's good.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we have had a fantastic time today on the podcast. I have had one of the best guests today.
Hey, cool.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah.
It's my lovely wife, Miranda. Hallelujah. We'll be back again. Hey, join us live on Thursdays. Hey, if you're listening to us right now, you're probably listening to us on Podbean. You can download the app, get all the podcasts, check out the archives. Google Podcasts used to be called Google Play. It is now Google Podcasts. You can get all the podcasts, check the archives there. Spotify, maybe that's your game. There's a Spotify app. Get the podcast there or iTunes. Hey, if you want to watch us, you can watch us live on Thursdays, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time on Facebook. Grace for This City podcast Facebook page, Grace for This City podcast YouTube channel. We'd love to have you join us. Thank you so much, friend. Hey, biblical strategies to help you turn your city upside down. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, it's going to start with prayer. Get this book, The Art of Intercession. Now, listen, if you just can't absolutely find it anywhere, I have about 6 copies. Every time I go out and look, I try and buy all the ones that are available because they're out of print. You need to get that one, The Art of Intercession. The new one is not the same. The Art of Intercession by Kenneth E. Hagin. If you just can't find it, I think I've got 6 copies. First come, first serve. I'll help you out, my friend. Give me a call at 870-741-9099. If we can do anything for you, pray for you. Hallelujah. If you got any questions, we'll answer them. My friend, thank you for joining us today. And until next time on the Grace for This City podcast, be blessed and turn your city upside down.